You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Today, we have with us Reverend Josh Baer. He pastors the Cramerton Church in Cramerton, North Carolina. And Josh, you've been there probably over 16 years and as pastor for around 6 years. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, I've got to say, for folks who've not heard about the Cramerton Church, they are a sending church. And so why don't you tell us about some of the folks who have been sent out to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, Josh, from your particular church. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about why you're sending all these people all over the world. So who, especially in the last few years, has gone out from the Cramerton Church to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to others?
Sure. So since I became pastor in 2015, late that year, we sent out Amos and Melissa Dillard. They went to Irvine, California to help Stephen Kimbrell plant Grace City Church. And of course, now they have launched out from that church over to San Diego, Chula Vista, and are getting ready to launch a church early next year through NAM. And so Amos grew up in our ministry here. I graduated from our high school, went off to college, interned during the summers while he was in college. And then when he graduated, he became our youth pastor and was here for 7 years full-time with that before answering the call to go get involved in church planting. So that was early in my pastoral ministry. Of course, the arc of that started before I became pastor. And all these stories do. It's much bigger than me, and really is a testament to a lot of different factors, I think. Then in 2017, Victoria Little went off to the other side of the world, to Kenya, to serve with Eddie and Amanda Simmons to the Samburu people. And she was there on a two-year mission through international missions, and has come back. Of course, she got married last year, and I know she and her husband, Bryce, I call her Victoria Little. That's who she was then. Now it's Victoria Pafil, and they're over in Seattle right now, but they just visited Kenya again, and of course, very involved in outreach and missions in her life. And then just this past year, Chris and Tana Willis moved to Anchorage, Alaska. They had been part of our church for the prior 4 years. Originally, we're from Sacramento, California, Capital Free Will Baptist Church there, Larry Condit, and then had moved here for job-related purposes. Were part of our church for a few years, and then answered the call to go plant a church and ended up in Alaska, where they're working right now towards launching a Free Will Baptist Church there. So that's a few examples of people that have gone out recently from our ministry.
Well, that's very exciting. And if our listeners will think about it, there have been Better Together podcasts about all three of those groups. So Victoria was one of our first folks, and she talked about your church. She also talked about just the impact of being able to go on short-term mission trips and how that helped folks. And if people remember, Amos has talked about how they've ministered to special needs children, which is something really that all of our churches could benefit from. And it's kind of a cool thing as you think about it's Chris and Tana, right, who are going to Alaska. They've done a podcast about being bivocational and how he has a job that he can do in Alaska and just bivocational ministry. So you guys you've sent people out. You've sent some really talented, and of course they love the Lord, those kinds of folks out as well. But I'm sure some people might be listening and saying, well, doesn't that make their church weaker? You know, wouldn't you be better off with Victoria or with the Willises staying put or the Dillards, you know, instead of being out in California? Wouldn't it be better if they were in Cramerton, North Carolina? How is the church doing with sending all these people out?
Yeah, that's absolutely a great question, because it's something I've wrestled with. I remember when Amos came in, I was still the associate pastor at the time, and we knew that we were headed towards Pastor Danny Dwyer, who was our pastor that's who I worked with for 10 years here. We knew he was nearing retirement. We knew that the transition was on the horizon, and had kind of anticipated that happening, and prayed and thought and even dreamed about what things might be, you know, in the future with working together. And when he took the call or answered the call to go elsewhere, I mean, that was kind of a big hit. He and I are close friends still to this day. And then Victoria, the same. I mean, she's just, when she was here, she graduated from college, came back home, was working locally. And we knew that her desire was to get on the mission field, but man, we got used to having her around because she was active in her work, just witnessing to people. She was active in our church, was a mentor to young ladies like my daughter who just got married, and others who have gone on to serve Jesus in their college and career. And Chris and Tana, same way. They had become part of the fabric of our church community and church family. And he was active Sunday school teacher, servant, volunteer. And so, yeah, it feels like a loss when you send people off like that. But that's what we have to wrestle with and grapple with. And I've had to and come to the realization that it's a lot bigger than me. It's a lot bigger than our church. It's a lot bigger than our ministry. It's really about the kingdom. And we play a part. And the good news is the culture here predates me. I mean, Pastor Dwyer and even the Reichards and Kings before him, for decades, this church has been sending people out and sending them to Bible college to study for ministry. We've got several that have come through our church and school ministry that are out serving the Lord elsewhere. And yeah, when you start thinking about, man, how much stronger we would be if they were all still here, right here at Cramerton. Of course, it feels that way, and jealously and personally, selfishly, we think that way. But it's something we just all have to come to grips with, that it's a lot bigger than us, and that we have to let go, really, because they aren't ours in the first place. And so learn how to celebrate what God's doing and what he's calling and working in a person's life, and take the bigger picture approach. And take the high road in encouraging and celebrating these kind of moves that people make.
That's great. And if people really think about it, it's a way of expanding the mission, expanding the influence of the church, isn't it? I mean, you think about Victoria is in Washington State, and we had someone move from our area and actually to Washington State, and they said there are no churches out here. You know, there aren't very many. And so you think about, you've got people like Victoria, you've got folks like the Dillards that are in California. And then of course, Alaska, there are not very many churches there. So really they're ministering to people and you're impacting people that there's no other way in Cramerton, North Carolina, you could touch Seattle, Washington, or touch Alaska, or touch the San Diego area otherwise without sending people out of your church to go to those particular places, is it?
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. And that's the positive side that we choose to focus on and celebrate and truly own that. I mean, I've tried to be transparent with people about how personally hard that can be to get there. But we can get there. And I think biblically and philosophically, we can talk ourselves to where we need to be and then truly and honestly celebrate what God's doing and realize, man, we are having part and an impact. You know, when Paul said, I tell this to our church a lot anyway, about how when Paul wrote back, I think to the Philippians, he said, you partnered with me in spreading the gospel. Well, how did they partner? That one was by simply sending him and sending resources, financial resources and support and prayer. And when we partner with people that are taking the gospel to places we could never touch, we are truly partners in the gospel with them to see the kingdom expanded. And we celebrate that with any missionary we get to support. But of course, it's even more special when we can celebrate it as people that are actually literally going out from our congregation to the other side of the world.
Yeah. And you alluded earlier to the legacy of the church. All, you know, the history of the church doing this, there must be a culture of there's something bigger than us for people to be willing to do this. Think about the Willises sitting there for several years, you know, answering the call into the ministry, and Victoria kind of growing up in that situation. Can you put a finger on the culture or how one develops a sending culture in their particular church that you can kind of flesh out for us a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I think about culture a lot. Culture is, as I became pastor, I've been challenged to think more strategically and things we want to do, strategic thinking, but also came to realize real quick, I think it was Peter Drucker who said, culture eats strategy for lunch. The culture influences things, and culture is nurtured and developed over time. And that's why I realize I've inherited a wonderful sending culture here, and certainly don't take credit for what we've got. I've tried to be a good steward of what I've been handed. And like I said, it goes back decades. And for many, many years, I hear the stories. That's part of a culture, or the stories and the history, mm-hmm. and being grounded in what the church has celebrated for years. And the church for years has gone on mission trips, sent money to missions, significant money to missions. They were part of building churches in Mexico and Cuba. When I went on my first trip, you and I went to Cuba together. My first trip to Cuba in 08, they found out I was from Cramerton. They talked about how one of our prior pastors, Doug King, had visited when Cuba was opening back up in the 90s, and had sent significant money from our church to help rebuild one of the houses at the seminary and things like that. They've done that type of thing, just celebrated that. And then also have celebrated people going off to Bible college back in the day when it was Free Will Bible College, and then also Southeastern through the years. They've been a big supporter. And that's a huge thing. I realize I grew up in a culture like that. I was in Hilltop Church and Faith Church in Goldsboro, I realized as pastor how hard that is to be willing to hold your kids with an open hand, my own personal kids, but also the kids that are part of our ministry, and encouraging them to follow the Lord, encouraging them to surrender to God's will, encouraging them if they feel a calling to go preach the gospel or teach in a Christian school or take the gospel across the world through missions. And so it's bigger than just a missions emphasis. It's really a total mission emphasis of people surrendering. And then through the years, there's been several short-term mission trips. And I know Victoria, she spoke at the National this year and credited, and I believe on your podcast as well, how those short-term mission trips were formational in her life. She went on one with our church that was actually a family trip to Mexico back in the 2008, 2010 range, which then led to her going on E-team and getting involved with a local medical mission team here in Gaston County that goes out to Honduras. And so you never know what might plant the seed or ignite the spark in a young person's life, or even an adult. Chris and Tana, they're my age and living their life and doing well here and building a family. And I mean, their family had connections and everything like that, but then being willing to say, so yeah, all those things kind of go into it. Part of it's the messaging, part of it's what you celebrate, part of it is the opportunities that you give, and not just opportunities out there going to Mexico or we've been to Brazil or York, Pennsylvania, different things like that we've taken teens and adults at different times, but also local opportunities. A big part of our messaging that I've tried to emphasize is that the church has been given the mission, and we're all to live on mission. Like we're not just passive participants of our church. We need to be active participants of the mission that God's given us, and that we all can listen to God and obey God in our own lives. And so I think part of that all goes together. It's just consistent with what's been going on here for decades, really, in creating an atmosphere, a culture, an environment is really where people can hear God calling, feel God's nudge, and then be willing to respond either by giving or sending or going themselves.
Oh, that's great. And so I'm listening and I'm thinking, how can I develop that kind of culture in my church, be a pastor or a lay person? I'm going through my mind, I'm thinking of people that went off to Bible college. I'm thinking of missionaries that we might have sent from our church. I'm talking about those stories. And there may be some people listening saying, well, I don't have a lot of those stories. Well, that's okay. Then you just go to the next thing and you're starting to develop that culture right here where you're at. And so I remember exactly what you're talking about. We hear that all the time, the short-term mission trips, the being involved in mission type activities in their local area. So then you start your own history, if you will, and then celebrate right. that. And, you know, you're given to a missionary, you try to tell those stories via Zoom when they're on the field or when they come back through. And it sounds like what you're saying is step by step, you build that culture. And what you're saying there at Cramerton is it's we're seeing the benefit of things over many years.
Correct.
You can feed something that's already going, but you can also start something. And and we've heard that with some of the people that's come out of Cramerton, we can kind of pick up the trips. Those things have been really big in their lives. So we can have this culture on a certain level wherever we may find ourselves at. I think that's what I hear you saying.
Oh, I absolutely agree that we all are, especially if you're in an established church, most of us are. You're handed a culture, so to speak, and it's important to understand that, but it's also important to try to improve that. And so nobody would say we've arrived, you know, and so trying to improve that. And it's a great point. You can start anywhere. This church for years has taken kids to the CTS competition. I mean, Victoria grew up doing Bible memory at CTS, but it's more than just the competition. I think it's being in that environment, being connected to our movement. I've seen that with my own kids and the value of that. And so that when they think of serving, there's a connection to a bigger movement, part of our Free Will Baptist movement. And the good news is, like, our church is our church is not as big as the churches I grew up in. So I tend to think, of course, Faith Church has sent out hundreds of people to serve all over the world. They're a huge church. You know, they're one of our bigger churches in the movement, or like Cramerton's not that, but at the same time, we can do something and we can move in that right direction. As you kind of are pointing out, I'm starting to learn the value of making small decisions in the right direction over a long period of time. There's a compounding in effect, and we're kind of investing in the future. But the good news, what I was going to tie in, was that I love that our Free Will Baptist movement offers opportunities for our young people, the E-team, the college missions programs, that we couldn't provide necessarily if it was just our church. We do our best to support our kids when they want to go to Truth and Peace. I'm super impressed with Truth and Peace, and my son had a great experience in that last year and is going back this year, and several of our kids are going. But they do some great leadership training for our young people and teaching them, encouraging them to listen to the voice of God and to say yes to what God wants them to do in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so just there are opportunities for churches, big and small, I think, to get connected to some of these things. When you have, you know, every kid isn't called to go to Kenya. I mean, that's a very special, unique calling that Victoria had, but we can all benefit from that and be part of it. And so anyway, there's definitely some steps we can all keep taking in the right direction.
That's good. That's great. So every church, if you've never had a kid participate in Truth and Peace or E-Team, go to the Randall House website, go to the IM International Missions website, learn about E-Team, learn about the College Missions Program as well. Those are opportunities, and then tell those stories. So you may have to, we really encourage you to help those kids raise the funds for Truth and Peace, raise the funds for E-Team. That puts the whole church participating. Let them come back. Let them share their story, and they will be changed people, no matter which program they participate in. And what you're saying is you can start that culture right there today. Right. And there's so many things that we have that folks can participate in. We just encourage you to do that. I want to mention one thing before we got off, Josh, but it's important, I think, also for us to remember there, you get blessed when you give. And so you've given away the Dillards, you've given away the Willises. You know, you could say you couldn't keep Victoria in Cramerton. You know, she could have ended up somewhere else anyway. We can thank that, but you were encouraging them to go wherever the Lord led them. And it does appear from my observations that churches that do that seem to be blessed. They seem to be healthier, if you will. And I do believe that's scriptural. You know, it's the same as tithing. When you give back to the Lord tends to bless us. And so I encourage our churches to think about that and to think about their communities, how they could be a blessing to them, how they can, we're called, Acts 1:8, Matthew 28, to go into all the world. How can we do that and just be busy doing those things? And right. I think in the end, we're a whole lot healthier in the Absolutely. Process.
Yes, sir.
You guys are a good model, and I get it. I think our listeners get it. There's a legacy here. You're trying to build on that, and we're all trying to build on the legacy that we find ourselves. We're all beneficiaries of whoever has gone before us, and we're just trying to be good stewards of what we have wherever we're at. Thank you so much, Josh, and thank you to the Cramerton Church for the good work you guys are doing, and thank you for taking the time to join us today, my friend, especially after the busy weekend that you have just had, my friend.
Thank you so much.
And we want to thank you all for joining us today. We encourage you to like this if you're watching it on social media. Write us a nice little review if you can. And remember that every little bit that you do helps to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we do encourage you to take podcasts like this and use them. And remember that when we truly do work together, we do accomplish more for the body of Christ. We're better together. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today.